Welcome to lesson 26, The Tax Man Cometh. While I won't pretend to know what the tax laws and regulations are for your area, it's important that you know what they are. Too many creative entrepreneurs skip out on this important information and then they're surprised come tax time. In the US, our federal taxes are due in April of each year, meaning you've got more than 3 months to collect your information and prepare for filing your taxes. Most US states and some US cities also have an income tax filing requirement. But what you may not know is that depending on how much income you're bringing in, you may also have to make quarterly estimated payments. And if you don't, you could pay a penalty come tax time. And that's just income taxes. Depending on your industry and locality, your business may also need to pay sales taxes, property taxes for both real and personal property. And in the city where I live in Mississippi, there's a thing called a privilege tax. Much like a business license, you pay a tax for the privilege of running a business, and you pay it for each location that you have in the city. So if you're a restaurateur with multiple locations, you're going to pay that tax for each location. Every time you move, you pay it again. So it's a little different than a business license, but it serves a similar purpose. If you've got employees, you may also pay for health insurance or unemployment insurance, which are another form of taxes depending on your location. Employee taxes are another consideration that most solopreneurs don't think about, but as your business grows, they may become part of the picture. And I don't say all of this to scare you. I say it to prepare you. If you want your company to grow, at some point, you won't be able to do it by yourself and you'll need support. If you choose to bring on employees instead of contractors, there are additional expenses like taxes that you need to be aware of. I can't stress enough the importance of not only knowing what the tax situation is in your area, but also preparing for it. We've talked before about adjusting your pricing to be able to afford help, but that also means affording taxes and other governmental and regulatory costs of doing business in your locality for your type of business. And not just the hard currency costs, but the time costs as well. When I hired my first employee, I had no idea what I was getting myself into. I loved her. She was great. So this is nothing about her. She was a fabulous employee. On top of the hourly rate, I also had to withhold taxes and pay in my own portion of taxes. And until then, I never knew that employers in the United States paid a percentage of the employee taxes. I thought it all came out of the employee's paycheck. I was wrong. Now, the woman I hired, like I said, she was amazing, but she was a part-time employee and she had another job, a full-time job that eventually laid her off because of job cuts in the area. And I had no idea how her getting laid off over there was going to impact my business. Every week, I had to complete a report and send it to the unemployment office and send a letter to let them know, yes, she was still working for me. And in my mind, I kept asking myself, if she's still working for me, why am I doing all this extra work? Why isn't the company that laid her off doing this work? I don't get it. It was time every week that I had to take away from doing what I do best to work on government paperwork. And it was so frustrating. Had I known going into that arrangement, I probably would have done things differently. I probably would have saved a little bit more money before I hired her, or maybe I would have looked for a contractor instead of an employee. So let my mistakes be an invitation to you to save yourself some headaches. It's important to know what your country or locality's unique tax situation is for business owners like you. And if you're looking to hire an employee, also then look for situations for employers, because there may be extra considerations for an employer that you don't have to deal with as a solopreneur. Then start setting your business up now to be prepared for those eventualities. While we're talking about taxes in this lesson, it also pays to start building out your systems and processes so that your team can actually run the ship without you at the helm all the time. Like payday. You may have thought I was kidding earlier when I talked about it, but here we are coming back to it again. Payday is a process, as simple as it might seem. Profit first is a system, one that can save your butt when it comes to taxes. Using the profit first approach, until you've crossed the $250,000 real revenue limit, you should be ideally setting aside about 15% of your monthly real revenue in a tax account. But those are US dollars, based on the idea that the average American is taxed at about 15%. If your tax situation is different, you need to adjust your profit first numbers accordingly. For example, here in the United States, our top taxable range is 37%. So you could need to adjust things higher. On the other hand, if you're just starting out with almost no income, then you'll probably only pay about 10%. You might even get a refund. In Canada and the UK are similar, but in Norway, as I record this, the top tax rate is 38.4%, and in Sweden, it's 57.1%. So you'll have to make adjustments based on what the taxable consequences are in your area, and you can't do that if you don't know what they are. Now, if you're in the United States, you can often take a few deductions against your income, but don't count on your business deductions to lower your W-2 income if you've got a day job. That might be possible when you're just starting out, but at some point, your withholding from your day job taxes won't cover the profit that your business makes, or the self-employment taxes that you'll owe for your own income from the business. Plus, if you file a business loss too many years in a row, the Internal Revenue Service here in the United States can disallow your business and consider it a hobby. And if you have a hobby, you can't deduct expenses, but you still have to pay taxes on any income that you make. Dun, dun, dun. When I realized how much higher my expenses were when I started planning for my taxes, not only did I raise my rates, I also got ruthlessly honest about my expenses and started saving more of my income so that I could benefit from the earned interest during the year. In a high-yield savings account, you can earn a few bucks or more each month until it's time to pay the tax man his due, and those dollars can really add up. Plus, money in the bank means peace of mind at tax time. Your assignment is to get to know the basics of the tax law in your area. Now, you don't need to become a tax pro, but learn the basics. What are the income tax rates? What are the sales tax rates for your income bracket? Any local taxes that apply to your kind of business? Any licensing requirements? Any fees you have to pay? Knowing all of that stuff is really important. And you may not even need to hire a tax pro when it's time to do your taxes, but it couldn't hurt to talk to one. Okay. In fact, it could help you set yourself up for success when it comes to managing the financial side of your business. So do the research, get the information, arm yourself with the knowledge so that you can stay in compliance with any legalities in your area. In our next lesson, we're going to revisit delegation and talk more directly about how to actually delegate appropriately. It's not just about assigning a task, it's about assigning an outcome. And I'll tell you more when I see you there.